Good morning. We are talking with Wisconsin State Senator Howard Markline. Howard, I know we talked last month, was right before the election. Now we're like a month post-election. And, you know, you weren't up for election, so you've been working this whole time. And there's a lot that is still being done in the state legislature. We're getting ready for 2025. And I know you were kind of talking about some of the budget issues that the state is facing.
So I co-chair the Joint Finance Committee in the legislature, which is the budget writing committee, and which we're responsible for developing the state budget. So there's activity been going on here over the last month or so from the agencies. And the agencies, whether it's the University of Wisconsin, the Department of Public Instructions, Corrections, DATCA, every one of the agencies, DNR, they all submit their budget requests, okay?
Yep.
And so we've had a chance to take a look at their budget requests, and
everybody wants more money.
Oh my goodness, yeah. I mean, and it's, you know, and it's not shocking, but if you add up all of these budget requests that from the agencies, it's a total of a 13.1% increase, which is
a lot.
That's, I don't know, too many people got a 13% pay raise. So
no.
Anyway, so you know, and I get it. I mean, it's kind of their wish list, I guess. And but ultimately, you know, it's going to be our committee's responsibility to kind of winnow through all that, look at the, you know, the reasonableness of the requests. And as I tell people often, you know, individual requests sound great. You know, So you come in with your idea. Oh,
yep.
Lori, I just, great idea.
Here, and here's why I need all this stuff.
You know, In isolation, it sounds great. Now, in the end of the day, though, somebody has to put all these together and see how your individual idea and your request stacks up, because obviously we can't afford to do everything, you know. So anyway, that's my committee's responsibility. So, and, you know, we're looking at that and, you know, the process. We're working pretty hard, actually, and getting behind the numbers already and some of the budget stuff. But we did get some numbers from the Department of Administration. There's called the it's called the November 20th report. And the reason it's called the November 20th report is because it comes out on
November 20th.
How about that? Huh? So anyway, and, you know, I guess I would characterize it as overall positive. You know, the revenue increase this year, the current year that we're in, is going to go up 3.2%. Revenue is taxes, income tax, sales tax, corporate, all that stuff. Okay, it's going to go up 3.2%, which is, you know, a decent increase. The following year, fiscal 26, it's going to go up 2.9%. And then the following year after that, it's going to go up 1.7%. Okay, now there's a trend there. 3.2%. 2.9, 1.7. So the further we get out, it looks like the less revenue percentage-wise increase we're going to have. Mm-hmm. So again, as we talk about the budget, going into the budget in a few months here, you know, we have to be aware of that, you know, that so we don't make commitments now based on rosy projections that 2 years
from
now, it may not happen. These are projections, not reality. So, we'll be busy, obviously, over the next 6 months, 6-7 months. The state ends its year on June 30th. And so the goal of the Finance Committee is to have the budget kicked out of our committee, hopefully in June, and then to the legislature, to the full floor, the Senate and the Assembly in June, and to the governor by the end of the fiscal year.
All right. And I know one thing that you had talked about is that, you know, there's a lot of correctional institutions in your district. I believe you said you have 3 in your district.
I do.
And there was a time that they were very, very short-staffed and were having trouble keeping hires. They couldn't, you know, fill their staffing vacancies, which, you know, everybody has that issue. But it's really alarming when it's a, you know, correctional facility. That comes at a price to the inmates, to the current workers, to the institution itself. So I know the state legislature gave a raise to the correctional workers. Has that kind of helped?
It's had a big impact, very positive impact. And the two closest institutions that I have are Boscobel and Père du Chêne, and Boscobel being the maximum security, and Père du Chêne minimum security. But so, and when I looked at the data and what we did in the budget, the last budget, I led the charge for getting this pay up, because the only way that we were going to deal with some of these vacancy issues, we had vacancies of like 40%.
Yes.
4-0, okay?
Yes.
I mean, it's ridiculous. We had, and what happens is, and you touched on it, Lori, you know, so you work a shift, okay? Mm-hmm. And if your replacement doesn't show up, you're slammed, okay? So you mm-hmm. worked 8 hours already, you can work another 8 hours, got to go home for a little bit of sleep,
yep.
you know, and come back, and that's that was happening over and over and over again. And the more that happens, the less I want to work here, you know?
And then you get burned out.
No, you get burned out.
And, you know, I mean, I know what it's like to work an 8-hour shift. And, you know, you work a 16-hour shift. And that can just be a lot, not only, again, on the inmates, on the workers. It's not safe for anybody.
Yeah, right. So anyway, so here in Père du Chêne, you know, the vacancy rate was up around 20%, which actually, compared to other facilities, wasn't too bad. But, you know, now you're down to, you know, between 5 and 6, 7%, which is reasonable. At that yes. level, you can, you know, and there are some people, I've talked to a number of people that work at the institutions, and there's some people that liked overtime.
Yeah.
They want the money.
Exactly.
Their kids are out of the house, and they, you know, they don't mind
mind occasional overtime.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, Christmas
when
time.
When it's mandatory and you've yeah. worked, you know, three doubles this week, nobody likes that.
Right, right. So anyway, no, it's really, I've heard just incredible feedback from, I was in Boscobel. Boscobel celebrated their 25th anniversary.
I saw that.
A month or so ago, and I was over there for that, and it was, you know, it was neat, and I had a chance to talk to a lot of those people that serve in that institution, and you know, again, they're basically down to again fully staffed. So anyway, as a legislator, you know, sometimes we make take action on something, and you wonder if it's really going to help. Here's a case where I can tell you what we increased the pay, and the problem got solved. And that is very rewarding to me, because sometimes, you know, you do things.
You do a lot of work and you don't necessarily see the reward.
And you're not very sure if it really
helps.
And
nobody likes
or not,
to give credit to politicians.
No.
No. They like to
not
blame
even us.
They like to blame problems on yeah, politicians, yeah. but rarely do you get yeah. credit. But another thing that you, I know a lot of politicians or elected officials in Southwest Wisconsin and in rural Wisconsin in general have been working on broadband internet, and just, you know, we were talking off air, it's 2024 and there are still places that don't have access to broadband. They don't have cell phone service. You know, if you're sitting in a cubicle in Madison or Milwaukee, this is kind of a hard thing to wrap your head around, that you and I probably in our daily drives encounter spots where there's just no service. And there's no broadband access. And that is an issue because, like I said, it's 2024.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And you're absolutely right. I mean, there's people that, you know, and I bang my head against the wall sometimes in Madison when I have people come in from various agencies, you know, and they are describing this new technology and stuff. And it's wonderful. It works great in Madison. But you get out in the hills and valleys out here in Southwest Wisconsin, and it doesn't work, you know, quite so well. So just recently I had a meeting with Charter Communications, and they are applying for some of the BEAD money. That's the federal money that's coming in to the state of Wisconsin. Wisconsin is slated to receive $1.1 billion for
with a B.
A BEAD money, and that is getting matched. So, like, let's say it's roughly 1-to-1. So you're talking like $2 billion of money coming into the state for broadband. And, you know, what's happened, I believe, is that the providers, the low-hanging fruit has been picked. You know, the easy
yep.
communities, the, you know, the rural subdivisions, you know, But, you know, I live on a dead end road.
I was just going to say, those living on a dead end road, you know, there's three or four houses along a road.
Right. And you know, it's expensive, you know. And so hopefully this BEAD money, when matched with by the companies, is going to address some of those issues. And, you know, I know especially in here in Crawford County, as well as in northern Grant County, there's still some areas where there's very limited service, very poor service, and hopefully this money gets directed to, you know, those remaining places. So, and we know it's going to be expensive. It's just, you know, obviously it's cheaper to serve a community like Prairie du Chien than it is a township in northern Grant County.
Yes, and it's hard to run the, you know, the fiber optic cables, but they still deserve to have the same access to internet as those living in the heart of a city.
So one of the things that I found pretty interesting, I chaired, this is a number of years ago, I chaired a legislative study committee on broadband, okay? And that's how I really got involved with this whole thing. And we, and a study committee is made up of some legislators, but it, predominantly it's by citizens. And we had people from, we had the providers, we had big providers, smaller providers, and that sort of thing. And also like realtors, medical people, you know, like and educators, because a lot, all those areas are touched by broadband, right?
Yes.
And so we learned a lot about the whole issue. From realtors' standpoint, I thought it was interesting, and this data is a little bit old, but they said that the difference in the home price for two identical homes, one without broadband and one with broadband, is about a 26% premium.
Hmm.
Okay. So think about that. I mean, that, you know, in terms of dollars and cents, because the people coming out to your rural township, you know, if the kids can't get online, if you can't work from home, if you don't have access to
TV, healthcare,
anything, you know.
Anything.
So, you know, it's going to have an impact. So that's a number that I haven't forgot about. And so it definitely has an impact on the, you know, the value of our homes and the quality of our lives.
Yeah. And I know it's a hot topic and it's something that isn't going to get solved overnight. This isn't going to be one of those where you can see the instant results. It'll probably take a few years, but progress is being made and more progress should be made.
Yeah. And so the timeline on this stuff is that the awards will be made during 2025 with work commencing in 2026.
Okay.
Okay. So, and that could take a couple of years. So, you know, if you're hearing this today, you know,
you're not going to have broadband tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, you know, unfortunately it's the way it is. But you know, I think people understand, even like with a road that needs to be repaired or whatever, if I can tell them, look, it's going to happen in 2026, at least they know that it's going to get fixed.
At least, you know, they know somebody is working for them, you know, trying to improve the situation.
So anyway, and I, you know, with broadband, it's one of those things. Somebody, I was at a conference a number of years ago out in Boston, national conference, and there it was very interesting, and I had the chance to meet with some legislators from rural Minnesota, Nebraska, you know, places like
us. Similar to us.
Very, very similar to my district. And we got talking about it. One of the speakers we had, really smart guy, and he was asked, how much money is it going to take to serve the country? And I'll never forget his answer. He said, we will never get there. And because the speeds that you, like today, 4 years from now, aren't going to be fast enough for you, right?
So, you know. We think back to the dial-up days, and we were all excited when we had dial-up. And now, if you told anybody that they had to work off dial-up internet.
Yeah. precisely. You know, so anyway, it's one of those things where it isn't like we're going to be able to, you know, spend this money and we're done. I think it's going to have to be a constant investment and upgrading and the speeds and people's expectations.
Kind of like roads.
It's a great analogy. Excellent. You don't build a road and then walk away from it.
You know, there's constant maintenance.
Right.
Yes. We've been talking with Howard Markline, Wisconsin State Senator. Have a very Merry Christmas. It's December. Wow. We'll talk with you again.
How'd that happen so fast?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know where November went, but have a very Merry Christmas, and we'll talk again in January in 2025.
Yeah. Thanks, Laurie. Good to see you.